If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. And we're going to look at verse 14. Romans, chapter 8, verse 14. And it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So we've been dealing with this study of what does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, this is a lesson that everybody in here needs to tie into, tap into, and get it in your spirit and begin to live this way, because you can begin to enjoy more success in your life and you won't see as many failures. The reason that a lot of God's people are experiencing failures is because we're not listening to God. We're not inviting God to be a part of our everyday walk and our everyday lives. All right. So the scripture here says that if you're going to be a son of God, then you might as well get yourself ready, because you're going to have to be led by God. Now, I don't know about you. I want to be led by God. I got to the place where I got fed up with making dumb decisions all the time, or always having to figure out what to do after the fact. Well, let's just start figuring out what to do up front and then do that. Amen. So now we're going to get into this today. And today we're going to begin to look at the actual steps, the ways that the Holy Spirit leads us. Amen. Could you, Quantra, turn my mic down just a tad bit? It's up a little loud there. But before we look at that, I want to look at this, because we have to understand that if we're going to be led by the Spirit of God, then we have to know how the Spirit of God leads us. And we also have to know that it is the Spirit of God that is actually doing the leading, and it's not some other entity and some other voice that we're following. All right. So let's look here at where I want to look at this morning. Let's look at Psalm chapter 18 first. Let's establish this. This is going to be very important. Psalms chapter 18. Psalms chapter 18, verse 30. And verse 30 says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tested. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him." Now, if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God successfully, you're going to have to make sure that you understand Scripture. Everything that God does, everything that God will say to you, every leading you receive from God will line up and agree with this book. All right. This is the roadmap to success right here. God does nothing apart from his word. Everything that God does originates from his word. All right. You will never, ever get God to say anything to you. Or do anything for you apart from the word of God. Amen. All right. You ask God for something. And I hear Quantrell say this all the time. You may ask the Lord to do something in your life, or to give you something, or you're praying about something. And the first thing that God will begin to do is give you his word. Why is that? Because you can't do anything in the kingdom of God without a seed. So it has to begin with the word of God first. All right. So it says, "As for God, his way is perfect." You got to establish that God is perfect. His word has already been tested and tried. His word is perfect. All right. His way is his word, and they're perfect. Now, let's look here also at Psalms 119. Now, I'm saying this because when we get into the things that we're getting ready to get into today, you have to be clear on what's going on, and you have to be clear on what God is saying and what God is trying to get you to see. Psalms 119, verse 10 says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Now, that's going to be important for those of us in here that are desiring to be led by the Spirit of God. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. So with your whole heart, you're going to have to start seeking God. And the reason that you're doing it is so that you don't go away from his word. His commandments are in his word. So I'm going to serve God with my whole heart. You're going to serve God. You're going to seek him with your whole heart so that you are not led away from the word of God, but you're led deeper into the word of God. Notice the very next scripture says, here's how you do that. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. How many in here want, your honest desire is not to live a sinful life. Hide the word in your heart. He says, oh, Lord, I'm going to seek you with my heart so that I don't wander away from your word. It didn't say that you willfully just left. You wandered away because your focus wasn't right. You got off focus and you begin to wander off into life. So then he tells you, hide the word of God in your heart. You won't wander away and then you won't be living a sinful life. Now, this is important to being led by the Spirit of God. All right. You're going to see this today. Now, on last Sunday, I made a statement in here that I assumed that you understood what I was saying, and I should not have made that assumption. And what I said was that if Jesus stood here and told you something that contradicted the Bible, forget about what you heard someone standing here saying and go with the word of God. And I'm going to prove that to you. That scripture, I didn't make that up, because I know I looked at certain people and people was like, that is true. And I'm getting ready to show you why. Now, God will never do or say anything in contradictory to this book. So you had a manifestation and you saw Jesus standing there and Jesus made a comment and what he said was absolutely unscriptural, which you heard him say. If you know what the word of God has to say about that, you know it's absolutely unscriptural. Should you go with what you heard that manifestation say or should you go with this book? You better go with this book, and I'm getting ready to show you why. All right. Now, here's why. Turn in your Bibles, and all this is leading somewhere. We're going somewhere. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Here's why I made that statement. I didn't just pull it out of the air to have something to say. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians. I mean, 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me get there. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now, notice it says, now there are those that have just assume the title of an apostle. But the Bible here says that they're deceitful workers. Now, notice the very next scripture. It says here, and marvel not, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The devil can show up in a manifestation and appear to be an angel of light or appear to be something sent from God. But the Bible says that he's just transformed himself that way. See, when you get caught up on, I have to have a supernatural sign to be able to do something, you better make sure you know the word of God. All right? Because you're looking for this spectacular thing to happen and something spectacular may happen and an angel of light steps in and you, oh, I saw Jesus and he told me this. Well, if you saw Jesus and he told you this and it didn't line up with the word of God, how do you know that that was Jesus? How do you know that that was an angel from God? How do you not know that you're listening to a deceiving, deceptive, evil spirit that's trying to lead you astray? Because this scripture here says that he can transform himself. So that means we need to be looking for more than just some manifestation to receive instructions and direction from God. Now, how do you know the difference? Because the word of God is not silent about this, and God expects you to know the difference. Number one, if you know the word of God, you will know the difference, because God is not going to go. Jesus is not going to go against the word of God, and the word of God is not going to go against Jesus, because Jesus has already said, and anyone that comes in his name is going to say the word. Now, 1 John chapter 4. How many people have jacked up their lives because they got some spectacular manifestation that did not line up with Scripture at all, but they followed it instead of the word of God, and they are in trouble today? Well, I was praying and my room lit up, and this feather fell down from the ceiling, and I heard something say that I'm supposed to quit my job and move to Texas and do this. Well, how do you know that's what you're supposed to do? You better base this on the word of God. Well, I was praying, and I knew that Bubba was my husband, and he just married the wrong woman. And I was praying, the Lord revealed it to me and told me just keep on standing, because Bubba's coming and he's gonna be my husband. Bubba's married. That is not lined up with the word of God. But how many people are following those things that they hear and see, and they're being deceived by an evil spirit? Now, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Don't put confidence in what you see and what you're hearing. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. It says, just don't automatically accept it because it looks good, sounds good. Try the spirit. Find out if it's from God. How do you know? What do you use to test or to determine whether this is a spirit sent from God or something from the pits of hell? Well, the Bible says here, try the spirit. Well, what can I try the spirit with? The only way that I'm going to test spiritual things is with spiritual things. And Jesus already says, the words that I speak unto you are what? Both what? Spirit and life. So if a spirit shows up talking to me and it doesn't line up with this book, then I'm going to rebuke that in the name of Jesus and go with the book. Now, you need to get this straight in your life. This is the first and foremost place that God begins to direct life from, is out of the word of God. This is the source. This is where it all begins, right here. And then the Holy Spirit directs this in your life. All right. Now we got to settle that, because we can get into this study here and you start going off doing crazy things because you don't know how to determine and to distinguish between God and the devil, because you don't know his word. And the Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. Well, how do I know his voice? Because I know his word. When you know his word, you know his voice, because he's going to say what his word has to say every single time. Now, here's an example of that. You don't know much about the scriptures, and you go to a doctor and get a bad report. Well, we think this is going on in your life, and we're sorry to tell you that you only have about 2 or 3 months left. Now, you know I don't have to go home and start praying. So you go home, Lord, what am I going to do? And you hear something say, well, come up in your spirit. Well, not in your spirit, but come up on the inside of you, because it'll come up on the, right inside you, in here, you'll hear. It's appointed to man a time to die. And you'll sit there and you think that, okay, it's appointed to man a time to die. Got this bad report. Well, maybe it's just my time. That lets me know you don't know the word of God. Because if it was me, I would go find that scripture, because if I'm hearing it from God, it's in the word. But when you go look that scripture up, it does not say it's appointed unto man a time to die. See, this devil knows scripture, and just the tweak of it changes his meaning. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Not a time. And then there's also other scripture says, with long life have I satisfied you. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. But if you don't know the word of God, you will assume that it's appointed unto man once, a time to die, and you accept that and be waiting to die. Instead of getting into the word of God, trying that spirit, which you heard by the spirit of the word of God, to see if God really said that to you. Now, you see how easy you can be deceived when you don't know the word of God. It's just that simple. When I was reading the story to study this, Kenneth Hagin was talking about a woman who had heard a traveling minister say that he heard God audibly say some things to him. And God can do that if he chooses to. But none of us in here has the right to demand the only way I'm going to do something if I hear God speak to me audibly. God, you don't have that promise in the Bible. Now, can God do that? Yes, if he chooses to. But that's not something that you should demand of him. So this particular woman started saying, demanding, I want to hear God speak to me audibly. Well, you can demand that, but she did. And as Kenneth Hagin was teaching, she went crazy. She began to hear voices, because Satan will oblige that if that's what you want. She began to hear all kinds of voices and lost her mind. So her husband brought her to him to pray for her, and he said he was getting ready to pray for her, and the Spirit of God said, don't pray for her. Talk to her first. So he began to tell her some of the things that I just got through sharing with you this morning. And then he asked her, because you can't cast a demon out of anybody who don't want it gone. If they want to hold on to it, ain't nothing you're going to do about it. I don't care how anointed you are. Jesus himself can't get rid of the demon if you want to keep it. So he says, well, do you want to be delivered from hearing these voices? And he explained to her. And she says, oh, no. I want to hear them, because I believe it's God talking to me. So you see how getting unscriptural and following everything else other than the word of God can get you off. So I wanted to straighten that up in here this morning so that you could understand why I made that statement, because it's absolutely true. I don't care what you hear, what you see, what someone says to you. If it is of God, it's going to line up with scripture. If it doesn't line up with scripture, forget what you heard, forget what you saw, go with the book. You will always come out on the winning side if you stick with the word of God. I believe it was Paul said it's a more sure word of prophecy. It's a more sure foundation. All right. Now, this is important to you and I, because if we're endeavoring to learn how to hear the Spirit of God, then if I was your enemy, I would try to mimic that to get you off. I mean, wouldn't that seem correct? But when you know the truth, it's hard for you to get into error. Now, look at 1 John chapter 4 once again, and let's look at some of this today. 1 John chapter 2, rather. 1 John chapter 2, let's read verse 20 again. It says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. So we have received an unction, an anointing, an empowerment from the Holy One, and we know all things. Now, I'm going to explain. We're going to get into what this unction, what is this empowerment? God, if you are a born again believer, there is an anointing, an empowerment down on the inside of you that enables you to know all things. And that anointing or unction comes from the Holy One or the Holy Ghost. So the primary way, the number one way that God leads his people is through what the Bible calls, or what we would call, an inner witness. Now, we're going to talk about this inner witness today. God's primary way of leading you is not through you hearing something. It's through an inner witness. Now, Romans chapter 8, let's look at this. And then we'll look at these. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Now, we've already gone through the scriptures that have proven to you that you can trust your spirit because your spirit has become one spirit with the Lord. The Holy Spirit and your spirit are united. And your spirit picks up on things from the Holy Spirit and reveals them or brings them up in you for you to be able to function off of them. So the primary way that you're going to be led by the Spirit of God is this called an inner witness. Now, this inner witness is, it's not a feeling. I don't want to use the word feeling. It's more of a just a knowing, a perceiving. This, it's an awareness of something going on the inside of you. And everybody that's in here that's born again, you've experienced this. You may have not known what was going on at the time, but you've experienced it. So I'm going to go through some scriptures. I'm going to point some things out to you so that you will know when it's happening and you will pay attention and yield. Because usually when you yield to the inner, when the inner witness will come first for you to yield. If you yield, then more information will come. If you don't yield, there's no need for any more information to come. You're not paying attention. All right. So let's look at this inner witness that we have. And it's a knowing, it's a perceiving, you know, a sensing right down inside of you. You just know things. You've received this unction, this anointing. Now, let's look at this happen in the life of Jesus. And then we'll look at some other people. And the Holy Spirit is so good. Because I was sitting there and I was like, well, Lord, how can I scripturally prove this? I know it goes on, but how do you scripturally prove that this is happening? And the Holy Spirit just began to talk to me and take me to scriptures that we've read forever and never paid attention. We just assumed that God was doing this when he was actually doing something else. So let's look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus being led by the inner witness. Now, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So now the scripture says he was what? Led up. He was led. So how do we know now we know he's being led. How is he being led? Did he hear God say something? Did someone say, come on, Jesus, we're going to go out here to the wilderness? What happened? Well, let's look at that same scripture or that same incident here from another gospel. Go with me to Mark and let's start reading here with verse 9. And it came to pass in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven. So then God does speak, have a voice. Oh, chapter 1. Now, if I'm talking about Jesus getting baptized, we know it's got to be chapter 1. It's chapter 1. I'm just kidding with you. All right. So verse 11 says that there came a voice from heaven. So we do know God has a voice. He does speak. There came a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And immediately, now notice the voice said, this is my son, I'm well pleased. But now notice, and then immediately the Spirit driveth him, who's him, Jesus, into the wilderness. Now, let's look at this here. It didn't say that God's voice told him to go to the wilderness, did it? It says, no, God spoke and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And it says, now the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Now, what do we know about the Holy Spirit? We know the Holy Spirit couldn't have driven him the way that we think the word driven means, because for us, when we say think to drive someone, that means you forced them out there, or you made them go, or they was resisting and you pulled them, or you just by force made them do something. Wouldn't that be what we think of when we say the word to drive something, or to someone was driven to do something, or we drove someone to do something? Well, the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. There's nowhere in the Bible where you're going to find where the Holy Spirit forces you to do anything. And the Holy Spirit didn't force you. He didn't force Jesus, and he's not going to force us. So obviously, that word driven there has another meaning than what we think in our natural minds. Now, we know it's being led because Matthew says he was led, Luke says he was led, but Mark says he was driven. What happened here? It's the inner witnessing. Now, the inner witness can come in different manifestations. I'm going to show you each of them from what the Bible has to say. But this one was an overwhelming knowing and just sensing in his spirit that I need to go to the wilderness. It was just this. It wasn't a voice. It was just this overwhelming sensation of knowing deep down the inside that I'm supposed to be in the wilderness right now. And he went. That was the spirit leading him. That's the inner witness. There have been times in your life to where you just knew, just overwhelming knowing that I just need to be doing this right now. And all of us in here have experienced that. You wake up and you just had this overwhelming, I need to go see someone, to see so-and-so today. Or you want to do something that you've planned to do and you get ready to do it and it's just this overwhelming sensation inside that says, maybe I ought to do this instead. Well, what's going on here? That's that inner witnessing. That's the Spirit of God trying to lead you. You didn't hear anything. You didn't hear a voice talk to you. Didn't no one come tap you on the shoulder and say anything to you. But it's just as much of the leading of the Holy Ghost as it all the rest of those. And this is the primary, the inner witnessing is the primary way. It's the first, number one way that God leads his people. So the next time there's this overwhelming, I just should, hold on, let me just stop here for a second. I just think I should be doing this. And it just keeps coming up. You may even disregard it the first day. And then tomorrow, it's right there again. And then you've gone for a few hours, and all of a sudden, here it come again. Well, what's going on? That's the Spirit of God trying to get your attention. Now, how many of you sitting here have experienced that to some degree in your life? And a lot of times you've blown past it because you really don't know what's going on there. I've experienced that. I just need to stop here. And that's when you need to stop and acknowledge God. So it says the Spirit led him. How? Through the inner witness. And that it was just this overwhelming sensation that there's something here that I need to be doing. I just know it. It just keeps coming up and it's stronger and it's stronger and it's stronger. All right. Now, that's one way the inner witness is trying to get your attention. Let's look at another one. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. I just sit there and say, well, Holy Spirit, how can I show this? Now, how many times have we read those scriptures and never really paid attention to that? And the Holy Spirit just so gracefully pointed it out. Luke chapter 2. Now, we're going to read here about a priest by the name of Simeon. Let's start reading with verse 25. It says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He's a priest. And the same man was a just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. So now notice, he's waiting to see Jesus. He don't know he's waiting to see Jesus, maybe, but he knows he's waiting to see whoever deliverer is going to be that's going to be coming. That's what he's waiting for. And he works at the temple. Now, at the temple, they had jobs, and the priests would come in, and they would perform certain procedures and ceremonies and different things that went on in the temple. Verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So the Holy Spirit impressed upon him that he was not going to die until he saw the Savior. So this is why he says, hey, I'm not going. Hey, now you think about this. He's the priest. He says, and he's I'm not dying till I see the Savior of Israel. Now, notice, let's keep reading here. Verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. He came by the Spirit. The Amplified Bible says, and prompted by the Holy Spirit. Uh-oh, here comes the inner witness. Now, Jesus had this overwhelming just knowing that I need to, is just an overwhelming inside knowing sensation that I just need to go here. This didn't say drove. He said he was prompted. This is just a little nudge. Sometimes it's overwhelming. Sometimes it's just a little nudge. This is just a little bump. Hey, go up to the temple. You need go on up to the temple. How many times have you heard that little soft, still voice, or you get that little nudge in your spirit that just says, let's go over here and do this today. Or don't do that. Go do this instead. Here's one. Prompted. Why don't you read a few scriptures tonight? I'm tired. I done worked all day. I don't feel like praying. Little nudge in to pray. Why? Spirit of God may have something that he wants to say to you that particular day. This is going to change your life. Going to prevent some hurt and some harm. Just a little bump. Then your spirit let's do this. So it says that he was prompted by the Holy Ghost to go up to the temple. Now, what would have happened if he had said, you know what, I don't feel like going up to the temple today. I'm a little tired. I think I'm going to go fishing instead today. Well, you know, how about I'm just going to stay on down here and spend time with my wife and, you know, we're going to enjoy this day. So I don't feel like I should go up to the temple, but I'm going to do this instead. He would have missed what God said he would have been able to see before he died. So just because he was prompted and obeyed, and when he was there at the right time, so when the parents brought in the little child Jesus to do for him what was customary according to the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, basically, hey, you've done what you've promised me, and I can go in peace now. Now notice that little prompting of the Holy Spirit had him in the right place, because he was there to receive in his arms the baby Jesus and bless him. Not only did God let him see him, God let him perform a customary ceremony of blessing this child before the Lord, before God. He allowed him to do that. Now, wouldn't that be much better to pay attention to those little nudgings of the Holy Spirit than to not pay attention to them and no telling where you end up in life? We're talking about the inner witness. We're not talking about he heard somebody say he heard the voice of God. He ain't heard. It didn't say God spoke anything audibly. It says prompted by the little nudges, the little inner witnessing that comes up. Now, let me pause here and say this. In your spirit, when you feel that it's a check or restraint or ill feeling, that's your spirit picking up on the Holy Spirit's information that you shouldn't do something. That's a stop sign. And it happens to all of God's people, but we don't pay attention to it enough. So the next time you have that sensation or that perceiving on the inside that I shouldn't, or you start trying to do something and you stop. And then you go back to it and try to do it again and you stop something. That means back away from that thing and go and inquire of the Holy Ghost. But if you have a feeling on the inside that's just peaceful and smooth and gentle when you're getting ready to engage something, then that's the Holy Spirit saying, yes, that's your spirit agreeing with the Holy Spirit. We're in agreement here. This is safe. You have an unction. Showing what this unction is. You have to learn, train yourself to pay attention to them. Because it happens all the time. Now, so we've seen two instances here where the inner witness is working. One, an overwhelming I just need to do this. And then here's one, a little nudge. Let's look at another one. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16. Different places in the Word of God where the inner witness has worked. Matthew chapter 16, let's look at verse 16. And Simon Peter answering, now this is Jesus. Jesus says, who do men say that I am? Notice Simon Peter speaking up here. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are thy Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but it has been, but my Father which is in heaven, or in other words, the Father in heaven has revealed it to you. How? Did he hear God say something? Nope. He just knew. It just, some information just, boom, just picked up on the Holy Ghost. Information came up in his spirit, and he just knew. Came up on the inside of him. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. How many times have God just given you information? You didn't hear him say anything. You didn't have a Bible in front of you, but scriptures or revelation just boom, and was the very thing that you needed. I've experienced this. Just a little nudging by the Holy Ghost, a little inner leading by the Holy Ghost, just an inner knowing. I remember I was standing in my garage one day, and I told the story before, and my car had messed up, not having any money to fix the blinker. And I'm standing there, and I asked, Lord, how in the world am I going to fix this blinker? Because I can't fix the blinker, and it won't blink. And I looked on the floor right as I said that, and I had a knowing, pick up the popsicle stick. Now, once I picked up the popsicle stick and yield to that, then God was able to now give me further instructions on what to do with the popsicle stick. But I could have looked at the popsicle stick, I ain't going to do nothing, and went on. Just the inner knowing, information, thou art the Christ. Where did that come from? You didn't learn that at school. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. I didn't tell you. Where did it come from? My Father just dropped it in there. The inner witness. You just know. And it's going, and I don't care what it is, it's going to line up with scripture if it came from God. You can go back to the book and trace it down and you will find it right in there. There has been several instances where I've had this happen and I can go to the scripture and it is right there in the book. And I didn't even know it was there. So I'm showing you. And some of that even happened when I was preparing for this message today. I didn't know. I mean, I've read these scriptures before, but I hadn't paid any attention to this inner witness and to the Holy Spirit. And it's just, I said, well, Lord, you got to help me find this in the Bible. And then I started just, this scripture would pop up, and this scripture would pop up, and that scripture would pop up. I was like, and then I would go back and read them, and then the Holy Spirit would start pointing out things then. But I could have been like, oh, I know that scripture. That scripture don't have anything to do with this. And missed all of it. All right? Let's look at another one here. Let's look at Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Verse 9 says, now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fact was not because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sir, I perceive that our the journey will be with hurt and much danger, not only of the load of the ship, but also for our lives. Now, notice this. He didn't say the Spirit of God told me anything. He says, I'm just perceiving that we shouldn't do this because this is going to be dangerous. It's just a perception. And how did he perceive it? He perceived it by the inner witness. Now, all of these I've experienced at various times in my life. There was a time, I remember, when, and I've shared this story before, too. Quantrell is a drive-in person. She likes to go to the drive-ins and watch movies. So, and I know that, and I'm not a movie person because I could care less about whether we go ever go to the movie. But this particular weekend, Quantrell had fussed at me, and now we're going to go to the movies. And she wanted to go and see this particular movie at the time. Back then, it was a scary movie. And the previews on TV made it look like a funny comedy. So I got off of work that day, and I came home with the intention, Quantrell, myself, and we're going to take the kids, and we're going to go to the drive-ins, and we're going to watch scary movie. That was my mindset, because Quant's what she wanted to do, and, you know, I'm always saying no. So this time I said, okay, we're going to go. So I'm in the shower rushing, trying to get my shower done and get some other little things that I had to get done before we were going to go, but I'm taking a shower now. I'm not even thinking about anything. We're going to the movies. In the shower, I just had this in my spirit. It shouldn't go there. It didn't start out with the Holy Ghost saying anything. It was just, I don't think we should go to this. So what did I do? I try to play it off. That's just me not wanting to go to the movies. Here I go again. I told her we're going to go. So I disregarded it and kept on taking a shower. A couple of minutes later, here it come again. Just don't think we should go there. I played it off again and kept on taking a shower because I'm like, because she's going to be mad and the kid's going to be mad. And I just said, all right, whatever. I just kept on taking a shower. And I'm drying off now. Here it come again. So this time I said, Lord, are you trying to tell me not to go to the movies? And he said, came up right up here, you don't need to go there. You don't need to see that. Now, pressure, because now I got to go tell her we're not going. She didn't hear nothing that went on in the bathroom. This is what's going on in me. She's just going to think you just backing out again like you always do. So I dried on off. Took a long time drying off. Ain't no need to ask the Holy Spirit again. He already don't say it. No. Drug downstairs and said, at least I had enough sense to say the Holy Ghost said we can't go. That way, I shut off the argument because you're not going to argue with me. I guess you're not going to argue with me if I say the Holy Ghost said we can't go. So it wasn't any argument. She says, all right, well, whatever. She was disappointed. And I could tell she was disappointed. Got to work the next Monday. Now, I didn't go do any research about the movie. And then I didn't know why the Holy Ghost said we shouldn't go. See, you always got to have 15 points of why you can't do something before you obey. Holy Spirit didn't tell me anything else other than you don't need to go. Now, how did I get that you don't need to go? I yielded to, what is going on? I yielded to the inner witness first. Got to work, and then they began to tell me about this movie. This was no comedy for no little kids to be watching. This was horrible. And I would have been sitting right up at the drive-in with my kids with all this filth being pumped into their spirits and my spirit too. But simply yielding to the inner witnessing of the Holy Spirit helped me miss out on contaminating my children. Now, here's another story. And I've told this one too. And this is before I learned. Now, this was before I learned anything that I'm telling you now. This is how I learned what I'm telling you now. We were poor. We didn't have anything. And the little black Oldsmobile 98 I had, somebody, I'm parked in my driveway, minding my own business, watching a football game. At my house, in my driveway, not on the street, in my driveway. And the devil gets in some nuts who high out their mind. We lived on Park, and I can't explain it to you, but if you live there, you would know what I'm talking about, if you knew the area. They came off the big hill, airborne, hit my big black 98 sitting in my driveway, hit it so hard, they lift the car up from here and pushed it all the way over to here, and the whole side of the car was smashed in. Now, anybody knows anything about the old style 1980-something 98 Oldsmobile? That's a big car, big four-door car. That's how hard those guys hit that car. I heard something go, boom. I said, oh, my God, Quantrell, call the police. Somebody just died, because that's just how loud it was. I went outside. It's my car. And the three nuts in the car that hit me didn't even get hurt. They got dazed. They got upset on the side, sat on the hill for a minute, got themselves together, and then walked off down the street. That's how long it took the police to come. And the police station is less than four blocks around the corner. But that's a different story. So now our car is jacked up. And our credit's bad. We don't have any money. But we're tithing. God blessed us to go out to the Ford dealers to be out on 71, matter of fact, not too far from here. And God blessed us to get a Ford Tempo, brand new. That was a blessing from God. God worked in it. It was the easiest thing. Oh, it was so peaceful. It was a wonderful experience. God just took us in there. Didn't even take long. We came out of there with a Ford Tempo, four door. Now, our kids were all little bitty. It was perfect for our family. We get all four of our kids in the back seat because they were all small. And we had a decent car, reliable transportation. And God blessed us. But then we drove our little Tempo to church and started looking at other people's cars. And they stuff looked all better than our little Ford Tempo. And so we need to take our little Ford Tempo out to the Ford dealer because they need to do some work on it, a few things on it. And while we're out there, because the seed of everybody else's car looks better than ours is down on the inside of us. And here we are, should have been sitting in customer service waiting for us to get our car and go home. We walking around the showroom floor. Oh, these cars are just so nice. And we came, and they had a burgundy or a Ford. This is when Contours first came out, a Ford Contour with a spoiler kit on it. Oh, it just looks so good. And me and Quantrell, we standing looking at this car. Oh, this car looks so, it looks much better than ours. And sure enough, here comes the devil, the salesman. Hey, how you doing? And we tell him, he says, oh, well, this, and we tell him about our car. And he's like, oh, well, yeah, this car, such, 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 such. And he starts selling the car. You know, we can get you into this. You know, we can take this and we can roll your payments over and we can this and we can that. And here we are. And we stand there and we listening. And next thing I don't know how it happened, but here we are sitting in the office now where you sign the papers. Now, the first car that we were there with, God blessed us. I'm sitting in the office. We have done all the paperwork. Now it's time to sign. My spirit on the inside was doing cartwheels, but I didn't know anything. I'm just thinking that I'm being fearful of how much it's going to cost. Am I going to be able to make the payments? I'm thinking it's just I'm afraid to do something. So I just kept forced it down. But my spirit was just twisting and turning on the inside. Was that check saying, back up off this, back up off this. But I didn't stop to acknowledge. I just kept on suppressing it. And Aaron, as the man talked and went through all, you know how they got to go through all the paperwork before you sign? It took about 4 or 5 minutes. The whole 4 or 5 minutes, my spirit was just, oh, God, I thought I was going to jump out of my body. I didn't know. I just thought I was afraid of payments and things of the car. So finally came time to sign, and I signed. The moment I signed it, all that went away. Just like that, just that fast. It was done. And then I'm thinking in my mind, okay, I was just afraid. No. The moment that you make a decision against the inner witnessing and you step over into that, it's done. You don't step on into it. We was in it now. got the car home, sitting in my driveway, because our house, you could see the driveway right where the black car was sitting. Now here sits our car. It looks good. This burgundy boy got the little spoiler kit on it. The little thing, oh man, we're going to be sharp when we go to church Sunday now. And I'm sitting in the car out my window, just sitting there smiling. And now here it comes. I was trying to tell not to buy that car. It's going to cause you problems. Heard it right down in here. And I was like, oh my goodness. But then I start thinking, oh, that's just the devil. I'm going to tell you, that car caused us more problems. We never did enjoy that car. It started out the carpet, because it was the first time they got them on the market. The carpet wasn't even right. The carpet kept messing up. Then the gear kept sticking on. We kept having to take it back for that. Other little things, all little bugs hadn't been worked out yet. It finally came down to we hit a bump in the road financially because we're overextended here with this car. And now we can't pay for the car payment and the insurance. So we had to decide, am I going to pay car payment, insurance, and no food, or car payment, no insurance, and food for my family? Well, that's an easy choice. I just ain't going to pay the car insurance. We're going to buy some food. So I did that. Quantrell sitting at the stop sign. Here come the devil. Boom! Hit the car. Now the car is all smashed up on the side. We barely making the car payments on the car. We finally got the car repoed. They repoed it, junked it out, and we still ended up owing $9,000 on that car. Why? Because I didn't yield to that inner witness, and that disregard of the inner witness cost me problems. How many decisions have you made disregarding that inner witness that's going on the inside of you, and it's cost you? Because I know it's happened. Don't tell me, you can't sit here this morning and tell me that the things that I've just talked about for the last 45 minutes, you haven't experienced any of that. I know you're lying. You've experienced every last single example that I've given. And you've blown right on past them and ended up making mistake after mistake after mistake. And some of them are so costly, you're still dealing with them now. And you think back in your mind right now, you say, yes, exactly. You're right. And I did it anyway. But see, you didn't know. But now you know. Now you know. So the next time you get the inner witness, whether it's an overwhelming feeling or a little simple nudge or just a knowing or perceiving, stop. Now look at this scripture. Here's why you need to stop. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, here's how this works. The inner witness comes it comes for you to pause and acknowledge him. That's why it shows up. So you're waiting on some spectacular burning bush revelation before you make a decision. That doesn't happen all the time. You know, a lot of stuff that we read in the Old Testament happened because God had to deal with them like that, because spiritually they were what? Dead. He couldn't deal with them from the inside because he wasn't connected. So he had to do other things out here to get their attention. Well, you are not spiritually dead. He's on the inside of you. So he's not going to do these miraculous, spectacular things all the time to get your attention. If he does that, then you don't grow. But what he's doing is he's giving you an inner witness. And if you don't stop and yield to the inner witness and acknowledge him, you blow on past it, then you're being wise in your own understanding. And you're going to end up having to deal with the evil that's going to happen. But when the inner nudging comes, like I was in the shower. I rolled it off about three or four times before I said, now, look, Lord, now, look, now, is this something that I'm supposed to be doing? And now I can get more information. But I could have just blew on past and just, whatever, I'm just going to the movies. The Lord wouldn't have never, ever said anything to me. You know why? Because I didn't acknowledge him. One thing that I've learned, and God always knew this, but me and Quantra have learned this. You can't help anyone that doesn't want help. Until they acknowledge that they need help, ain't no need of you trying. It's just going to be a suggestion. But when an individual acknowledges, I need some help, then they're ready to do what? Listen. God understands that. That's why the inner witness comes for you to acknowledge you need more information. And if you don't stop when the inner witness come and acknowledge God, what is it, Lord? Is this, even if it's, if it's, if it's that check in your spirit that just, you just, I better not, Lord, I just, this doesn't, Lord, this doesn't feel comfortable. What's going on here? Now God's going to talk to you. You're going to hear that, what we're going to talk about here in a minute. You're going to hear the voice of your spirit start talking to you. But if you don't, you won't. You'll never hear anything. And you'll keep on making the same dumb decision time after time after time after time simply because you refuse to acknowledge the Holy Ghost. You got to acknowledge him. God expects for you to acknowledge him. And he is not going to say anything past the inner witness if you don't stop. And that's just the way that it works. Is God wrong for doing that? No. Because God doesn't waste time. And God doesn't waste any information. And God doesn't waste his wisdom. Because the Bible tells us, don't cast our what? Pearls before the who? The swine. Don't waste your time. Why? They don't want to hear it. Well, if God told us not to do that, do you think he's going to turn around and give you information that you don't want to hear? No. You don't want it? Okay. So the next time the Spirit of God starts trying to lead you through the inner witness, it's there for you to stop and acknowledge, what is it that I need to do here? Then you get direction. This is why the Bible says that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, because that's leading towards maturity. That's leaning towards growing up. Instead of being tossed to and fro by what you think and what somebody said and how you feel. Now, I only have enough. What? How much? Is my clock wrong? My clock says I still have a whole other hour. That can't be right. All right. So I probably don't have enough time to get this introduced. I think my clock is wrong. But I will state it. Where are we at? All right, I'll introduce it. Then we'll get into this. The reason that we don't yield to the inner nudgings and inner witness of the Holy Spirit is because we're not what the Bible calls tenderhearted. We're not tenderhearted. We're not God inside minded. We're too busy being led by our emotions. We're too busy being led by our feelings. We're too busy being led by what we see, what we hear, all this superficial external stuff going on. We're too preoccupied with mundane things of life to where we don't take the time to keep our spirits tender or soft towards God. And when you don't have that, when your spirit has become hardened, it's hard for you to hear and it's hard for you to pick up on anything that God is doing. Because God is going to deal with you through your what? Spirit. Now, later on, I'm going to talk to you about fleecing. God does not lead you through fleecings. And God does not lead you through circumstances. All right. Now, will God take an opportunity to teach you something in a circumstance? Oh, most definitely. But he wasn't trying to lead you with the circumstance. You got yourself in that. Now, God's trying to teach you how you got there. It wasn't God's fault about that little red car that we bought. I tried to blame him. But deep down in my heart, I knew I couldn't. I did it. Because I wanted to look good. I don't even know if it was Quantrell that really wanted to look good. Okay, she's blaming me. All right, it was me. I wanted to look good. I'll leave her out of it. I want to have a flashy automobile. Cause what the people was going to say. You know, you're a deacon in the church and you're supposed to this and that. Come on, see? And so I went and made a mistake based on what somebody else thinks about me. Other than saying, Lord, thank you. We didn't even deserve the tempo we had, but you blessed us. You see how you get yourself in trouble when you're unthankful and you're not grateful for the things that God has done for you? You miss the supernatural acts of God in your life because you're too busy looking for this spectacular, grander old thing. And you miss the little simple supernatural acts all the time because their inner witnessing is just as much of a supernatural act of God as the burning bush that Moses saw. Matter of fact, their inner witness is a stronger manifestation of God than the burning bush was. But we won't listen. It's because your heart's not tender before God. Now, I read this last scripture and we're going to be done for today. Where do I want to read? Let's look at let me see if I can find it. I don't remember where it is right now, so I won't read it. We'll read it on next week because I can't remember where it is right now. So next Sunday, what we're going to look at is what do I mean by being tender-hearted? How many here truly want to be led by the Spirit of God? Then you're going to have to be tender-hearted. Now, I will say this. You're going to have to quit arguing with God. And quit thinking that God's trying to rob you of something or take something away from you. There is not a scripture in the Bible anywhere where it says God is the God of decrease. God is the God of subtraction. It didn't say that. It said God is the God of abundance. God is the God of fruitfulness. God is the God of multiplication and overflowing, edification. So if God is leading you to cut something off, obviously it's for your gain. Now, we'll read that scripture. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Isaiah. And chapter Isaiah chapter 48. Verse 16 says, come ye near unto me, hear ye this. Now, you're not going to come if you don't yield to the inner witnessing. But if you yield to that nudge that the Holy Spirit is giving, you'll come near and you'll listen. He says, I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there I am, and now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Verse 17. Thus said the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which does what? Teaches thee to profit. What does profit mean? That means God is going to instruct you and lead you and educate you on what's for your benefit and what's for your gain. That's what profit means. He says to teach you how to profit. How? By leading you in the way that you should go. Great gain, great profit comes from the leadings of the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, oh, that thou hadst hearkened unto my commandments. So if you don't hearken to the commandments, then your peace won't be as a river and your righteousness won't be as the waves of the sea. Because it says they that hearkened to his commandments, he says your peace will be like the flow of a river, never ending. And your righteousness will be like every wave of the sea will always come in. If you hearken, if you pay attention, I want to profit. I want to prosper. And that just doesn't mean that we're talking about financially. I want to prosper in life. God is interested in you spiritually and naturally. The Holy Spirit is just not in your life to lead you and guide you into everything that the Bible says. Yeah, that. But then he wants to lead and guide you to everything that is true for you, period. He wants to lead and guide you into good health. He wants to lead and guide you into a financial, good financial position in life. He wants to lead and guide you into a great relationship, whether that's marriage or friendship or whatever it wants to be. He wants to lead and guide you into the perfect career that he's designed you for. He wants to lead you and guide you to the perfect place for you to do that career. He wants to lead. God wants to talk to you about every facet of your life. And if you will let him, he will make your life an enjoyable experience. Jesus says, I have come that you what? Might have life and have it more abundantly. Then he says, and now I'm going to the Father, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you a comforter. What does a comforter do? Make you comfortable. So if you're not experiencing comfortable life, you're probably not listening to the Holy Spirit. All right? Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Very simple, Father, very plain. And I know that it's gone out on good ground and it's prepared a way for us to know and learn and develop and being led by you. And we thank you for that. We'll hear you and we'll follow. In Jesus' name, amen.